Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There is the old saying, you really shouldn't look at the standings in the major leagues until Memorial Day weekend, and here we are. So it's fair game. Look at the standings, and before you know it, we'll be counting down not only to the All-Star break, but then the trade deadline as well. So things go pretty quick once you get to Memorial Day weekend in the major leagues. Twins chasing the Royals and the Guardians at the moment, and the Royals and the Rays are tied at three in the bottom of the seventh inning down in St. Petersburg. And then late tonight, Cleveland in Anaheim to play the Angels, and that one won't get started till 8:38 our time tonight. So the Twins did gain a little ground with the win over the Rangers, 5-3. Alex Kirilloff hit the three-run home run in the eighth. Twins get the 5-3 win and go for the sweep tomorrow. And once again, a big thanks to Natalie Darwitz, general manager, PWHL Minnesota. They play Boston for the championship tomorrow, and that is a 5 o'clock start at the Xcel Energy Center, and a big crowd is expected on Friday night, almost 9,000. And that's extraordinary, Josh Wheeler, considering you had a Twins home game and the Timberwolves in game two of the NBA's Western Conference Finals. That is a phenomenal crowd for the first year of this pro women's hockey team.
Yeah. It's been a good run for them so far this season, obviously no setting doubt. The indoor professional women's athletics or sports, however you want to phrase it, record for their home opener this season. But they and you kind of touched on it in the interview, they have a privilege that not a lot of these PWHL teams have, where they can actually use the Xcel Energy Center. Credit to the Wild and company for, you know, letting them have that platform for this, because I think they knew exactly what we now know is these crowds are going to show up in droves and just be there the whole way through. So it's been a phenomenal thing to see, you know, personally myself being able to cover it. Every time I'm there, it's just always stacked. Almost the whole lower bowl is usually filled. So it's been fun.
Yeah, and the one thing the NBA has done is help nurture the WNBA to the point where it continues to gain more and more traction. Caitlin Clark certainly has helped, but we have four titles here with the Minnesota Lynx, and I think the NHL and NHL clubs and the support of the Wild of PWHL Minnesota is huge, and the availability of the Xcel Energy Center. And Natalie said it more than once that This is hockey country. This is the state of hockey. We know the support the boys and girls game gets at the high school level. We have all the Division I teams that get tremendous support here in the state of Minnesota. And of course, we know the support the Minnesota Wild have received over the years, and before that, the North Stars. And now to see PWHL Minnesota get that type of fan support and have a chance to win a championship tomorrow on home ice in St. Paul. And once again, tickets available. You can go to the PWHL.com website and find out about ticket availability. But there is room in the building if you want to go, and they'll start at 5 o'clock. Still plenty of time to enjoy the hockey game and still catch the Timberwolves in Game 3 of the NBA's Western Conference Finals in Big D. And speaking of that, Kevin Lynch joins us, Bally Sports North, Timberwolves analyst. Kev, always good to visit with you. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing pretty good, Steve. I'd be doing better if the Wolves had won a game or two, but that's not where we're at right now, and they're still alive, so that's good. They're still a pulse.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Game 1. Maybe they were a little sluggish coming off the seven-game battle with the Denver Nuggets, winning that on the road. But in Game 2, this game was there for the taking, and by any reasonable measure, should have won Game 2, and they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, they're well, Game 1 as well. The Wolves up probably 80-90% of Game 1, the Wolves had a lead, and they just gave it away right at the end. And, yeah, Game 2, the same. You know, if the Wolves seem like they're just struggling with the pressure, it seems like. They're just, you know, they might have been a little bit tired, like you said, because of the seven-game series, Denver, da-da-da, but you know, they win Game 1, they calmed, even if they didn't play well at the end, let's just say the Wolves win Game 1, and they just relax a little bit and play better Game 2, but they, like I said, they lose Game 1, and then they jump out and get a decent lead in Game 2, and then they give this away, too, so it's just, man, it's just, to me, well, the Wolves are a better team than Dallas. They just haven't shown it. They haven't played. Dallas has outplayed them, yes, but at the end of the day, I think the Wolves are a better team. But you're down 0-2 going to Texas, and it's just, boy, they got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, let's start a little bit with the Mavericks. Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving are the top two guys in this team. Doncic was pretty impressive in Game 2. I mean, triple-double. He's really a good player. I sometimes don't like the whining. People complain about Cat and some of the complaining he's done in his career. This guy's, it's an art form for Luka Doncic, whining to the official. I mean, really, it is. The guy's complaining all the time, but he's a hell of a player, Kev.
Well, yeah, you look at guys like Kobe Bryant, Manu Ginobili, those are just a couple guys that come to mind, how much complaining they did. Doncic. You know, it's just the NBA, Steve, they've tried to kind of cut back on this. The fans, NBA fans, basketball fans, that's why some basketball fans don't like to watch the NBA, because it's way too much. And you're right. But you get away with it long enough, and you want the players to be able to express themselves and get emotional to a degree, but it's gone way too far, and Doncic, yeah, he's one of the main culprits of all that crap.
Kyrie Irving is a guy who's bounced around in his career and is one of those guys at times where it's like, you know, what's going on here? But it seems as though ever since going over to the Mavericks, he's kind of settled in and realizes that, you know, his career is slipping away, and this is an opportunity. Yeah. It seems as though Kyrie Irving has changed as he's matured.
Yeah, I mean, he's changed in the fact that it's just kind of all the off-the-court stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like a lot of people were like, does he want to play basketball? Does he like basketball? It just seemed like drama kind of surrounded him, and some of it he brought on himself. And you're right. What has happened this season is it's like he, like last summer he must have gone into the start of this year like, all right, this is, you know, I'm being known as just kind of a head case, malcontent, and I want to get away from that. So I just want to – you can do whatever you want once you retire, you know. So how about just be a basketball player right now, stay out of the headlines, just kind of keep my mouth shut. Yeah. Because as far as offensive talent, I mean, there's just no doubt he's one of the best guys in this league, and he's showing that in the series so far. But yeah, he's made a change, like you said, and he needed to do. I mean, if he goes to all that other off the court stuff that he's gone to the last 5-6 years, there's no way that Dallas gets to this point. So a part of their success this year has been the fact that Kyrie Irving has just been a basketball player.
Kevin Lynch joining us, Valley Sports North, Timberwolves analyst. Timberwolves down 2-0. They go into Dallas tomorrow night. Much-needed win, must-win situation for the Timberwolves in Game 3 to get back on track. Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, from the field, have not had a very good series so far. If they're a little better, Timberwolves are up 2-0.
Yeah, it's... You know, it's just, to me, it's almost looked like the Wolves, and well, Ed, let's just start with Anthony Edwards. It just seems like he's, everything that guy has done the last, this past 4 years since he came in to the NBA in 2024, he has handled everything beautifully. He's so talented, and he's so competitive, and he's a good player, but it seems like, I was always thinking, you know, God, once he gets to the playoffs, how is he going to be? And he has been terrific all the way up to this point, and I think we're finally seeing the last couple games him, the moment kind of affecting him. And this is the first time I've seen that, because every time an opponent or the Wolves coaching staff have thrown something at him, he's just handled it perfectly. But now the pressure is starting to build, and I'm sure he's feeling it. And the same thing with Towns. Towns had a lot to prove going into these playoffs. He's played okay in the playoffs previously, but never great. So I really think the Wolves have been affected by the pressure of what's going on and being favored in this series before this series started. So, yeah, I mean, if they're going to make this a series, if they're going to have a chance to win this series, the Timberwolves, both those guys have to play better. And play consistent from here on out, because they're on a hole right now, Steve, and they can't afford to lose Game 3.
Hey Kevin, it's interesting you bring that up, because there was so much buzz. They swept Phoenix in 4, but they won the first two in Denver, and then came home and really got steamrolled by the Nuggets in Games 3 and 4. And then lost in Denver before righting the ship and getting a much-needed win at home, forcing the Game 7, and we all know the rest of the story. But they are 3-4 at home in the playoffs. They've been much better on the road. Maybe that's part of it. It's maybe they play a little freer on the road and don't feel like, hey, we got to get it done. We're at home. We're in front of our fans, etc. Do you buy into that theory at all?
I do. I do somewhat, yes. For some teams, for the makeup of whatever particular team you're talking about, whether it's the Wolves or somebody else, for some teams that's the case. I mean, and that's nothing against the Timberwolves fans. I mean, those fans have been unbelievable at Target Center. But I just think that for certain teams, they relax. They don't feel it as much. It's kind of like we got this 20,000 people in Denver or Phoenix, And we're going to relax and just try to take them out in their own building. So some teams approach it that way. And I'm hoping, well, like you said, just talk about the Wolves' record on the road so far in the playoffs has been really pretty good. So that might be the case for this team. So they just need to have some – Steve, if the Wolves can win one of these games in Dallas – that is going, whether they play well or not, if they just win a game, that might relax them coming back for Game 5. They might see a different Timberwolves team. So That might be the case, that you get on the road and you get together and it's us against the world mentality, and that might help them to a degree.
One of the things during the regular season, and you saw this a lot, the Timberwolves would have trouble finishing games. And in that Denver series, there were blowouts one way or another. I mean, it was all Denver or it was all Minnesota for the most part in that series. But in this one, very tight games coming down to the stretch. Every possession is huge. And that's kind of a different animal because, once again, the Timberwolves during the regular year would struggle with that at times, finishing.
Yeah, and even getting stops, too. So I don't think it's sure. just the offense. It's one of their big issues in this series. It's been just two games, but it's just trying to – I mean, the big guys for Dallas just getting dunks, easy lob dunk, and it's like you can sit and blame Gobert or Towns or Naz Reid or some of the big guys, but the big culprit is the Wolves' perimeter players or whoever's guarding Doncic or Irving – allowing dribble penetration to get into the lane, your defense breaks down, and then they're lobbing it up to Gafford or Lively, the second, you know, these big guys for Dallas, and they're just catching and dunking. But so the problem is keeping those guys out of the lane. Now, it's not easy to do because Doncic and Irving are really good at manipulating the refs at times, and they're just really good off the dribble if you give them a little bit of space. So lack of execution defensively has been such a problem, but offensively as well, it just seems like Conley didn't play well in game one. That has been a problem. And if you're going to run your offense through exclusively Anthony Edwards, you know, in pressure situations like that, he's making mistakes as well. So, it's been a problem that we've seen before this season. At times they've been okay at executing at the end of game situations, but against a good team like Dallas that's playing well, it's been hard to watch at times because both these games, game one and two, the Wolves just making mistakes and giving up dunks and just turnovers, and it's hard to watch.
Yeah, and Kev, before we let you go, final play, game two, Doncic one-on-one with Rudy Gobert, and I was just kind of sitting there mumbling to myself because I was watching the game by myself, and it's like, I don't like this. This is putting Gobert in a bad spot. That far away from the hoop, one-on-one with Doncic, that's a tough spot for Gobert.
Yeah, and plus, you know, it's like I was thinking the same thing watching that last night. It's like, plus you're up two, and you give them a three. You give them a three. It's one thing if you just crowd Doncic and force him to get inside the three-point line, and then they make a play and they tie the score, but he makes a three to go up to take the lead. You know, and it's just little things like that just sting, man. I mean, it's one thing if they get a two and they tie the game, you go to overtime, okay, whatever. You're frustrated you didn't win the game, but at least you're not playing from behind. And then the last shot by the Wolves, so you're down one, Steve, and this is one of my issues with the NBA. You know, it's like you're down one with 3 seconds to go, and you take a three. All you need is a two. You could run a play, get some action going towards the basket, maybe draw a foul, maybe get a two. All you need is a two to win. Instead, you take a 20. No, Naz Reid's been really hot all game. Yeah, I get that, but get some action going towards the basket. To me, that was another frustration for the end of that game last night.
Or get to the line, you know, take your chances at the free throw line, you know.
Yeah.
You know, someone fouls you and knocks it into the 10th row, at least you get to the stripe and have a chance. Yeah.
Right, yeah. It's just, a lot of teams do that. They run plays to get threes when the score is tied or you're down one. All you need is a two to win it, and you take a three. To me, it's just like – a head scratcher.
Yeah, it was painful. Well, hey, Kev, always good to visit with you. Game three tomorrow night, Timberwolves in Dallas against the Mavericks. And to keep that series in live, they need to get one of two games at least down in Big D. Have a good one.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
All right, there he is, Kevin Lynch, Bally Sports North, Timberwolves analyst, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We'll come back. Tragedy on the PGA Tour. We'll have that story in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. The PGA Tour is at Colonial in Fort Worth, Texas. It's hot. And tragic news today. Grayson Murray, who's won twice on the PGA Tour, died this morning at the age of 30, one day after he withdrew from the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. There were no immediate details on the circumstances of his death, only shock and grief from the PGA Tour and his management team. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan said, "I'm at a loss for words. The PGA Tour is a family, and when you lose a member of your family, you're never the same. We mourn Grayson and pray for comfort for his loved ones." His management company confirmed his passing, but they wouldn't say anything further about the cause of death. Monahan said he spoke with Murray's parents to offer condolences, and they asked that the tournament continue. So they learned of his death this morning, and the third round did indeed continue. So two-time PGA Tour winner, 30-year-old Grayson Murray, has passed away, and they're not really sure. But he wasn't feeling well on Friday and withdrew from that tournament. And the leaderboard, in the wake of Murray's passing, the third round is complete. And Scottie Scheffler right near the top of the leaderboard after a 7-under 63 today. He is all alone in second. Davis Riley is your leader by four at 14-under par. Scheffler all alone in second at 10-under par. And then two players at minus nine. Tony Finau in a group tied all alone in sixth. Tony Finau all alone in sixth at 7-under par. Colin Morikawa in a group tied for seventh at 6-under par. But it's Davis Riley by four over Scottie Scheffler heading into the final round of the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth. But a sad, sad story. Once again, Grayson Murray passing away at the age of 30. It is 5:32. Quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. Much more in the world of sports. The Loons are on the road at Colorado. We'll get into that. We'll go outdoors with Steve Kearney here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. A little more on the weather. Some big thunderstorms up by 35 in the area of Hinkley heading into northern Wisconsin. And that actually, as you move up 35 and head for Duluth, they continue to move to the northeast, so the Twin Ports could be impacted by that. Also, some shower and thunder shower activity between Red Wing and Winona, and that is headed over the river into Wisconsin as well. So you could see some light showers this afternoon or early this evening, depending on where you are. But very light rain if it's occurring right now here in the Twin Cities. Gorgeous day earlier at Target Field. Twins beat the Rangers 5-3. Alex Kirilloff, the hero. Got to hear that one again. Kirilloff, a three-run bomb in the eighth. Twins go on to win it.
And Alex swings and lifts one high in the air. Deep left center field. Tavares chasing it. He's in front of the bullpen, and it's gone. Into the bullpen. It's a three-man parade around the bases. Alex Kirilloff slingshots the Twins to the lead.
Yeah, that's really good. Chris Atterbury on the call. Twins win at 5-3. They've won four in a row. They go for the sweep of the Rangers. Pablo Lopez on the mound. Our coverage beginning at noon. Inside Twins. Lineup card 12:30. Chris and Danny at 1:10 tomorrow. Once again, Pablo Day at Target Field. And it looks like the weather is going to cooperate. Word is, if we get some rain, it might be in the morning. Keeping an eye on the Royals and the Rays. They played nine and tied at three in St. Petersburg. Of course, Royals in second place. Later on, Cleveland in Anaheim playing a late game. So you're up to date on what's happening on the Major League scoreboard, at least as far as the American League Central is concerned. Good news for the Minnesota Lynx. They got a win today, beating the New York Liberty 84-67 today. And the Lynx had four players in double figures as they get the W today. Meanwhile, the Loons take on Colorado out in Denver tonight. And the Loons have been a very pleasant surprise this season, kind of coming out of the break, waiting for their new head coach to arrive. And they have been playing very, very well. They continue to defy all expectations this year. But once again, they take on Colorado. And fans, it's on Apple TV, you know that. But it's one of the free games tonight from Dick's Sporting Goods Park in Colorado. Once again, Minnesota and Colorado. And Josh, it's free. I might check it out. I might watch a little Loons later on tonight.
Man, free sports.
No, I was thrilled when I saw it. And there are occasional games. As a matter of fact, next week when they're at LAFC, that is another free game on Apple TV. Back-to-back. And it's not a week away. They actually play at LAFC on the 29th. But tonight at Colorado, free. And then on the 29th, free. And I do have the app on my smart TV, so I think I might check that out tonight. But they are playing very well. And by the way, you can hear Viking PA announcer Alan Roach. He is also the PA voice of Colorado. So you'll be able to hear his voice.
He does it all. He does
he
it
does,
all.
He does. Let's see. He does Colorado Avalanche, Colorado Rapids, Minnesota Vikings. I think he's going to be in Paris for the Olympics. He does something at the Olympic Games. And he's been the PA guy for the Super Bowl.
Crazy. Just crazy. No, yeah. I've yet
so,
to go.
So you'll
to,
hear it. You'll hear a familiar voice on the PA in Colorado.
I have yet to check out Allianz Field, to be completely honest, but it is at the top of my list because I love soccer. I know a lot of it's not popular among a lot of Americans here, but I've covered soccer before in my media days, and it definitely helped grow and appreciate my love for the sport of soccer. And I would love to. I need to go to actually watch a game in person, since you can't really, as you've alluded to, we can't really watch too much right now when it comes to sports. But free games on the on Apple for
Minnesota
tonight, United. Love it.
Yeah, tonight and the 29th, the Loons are free on Apple TV. Be still my beating heart. By the way, of the Loons take on Kansas City at home, next home game, your next opportunity, Josh, to get to Allianz coming up on June 1st. So they have a lot of action coming up. So good news generally all around today on the local sports scene. Twins win, Lynx win, and the Loons play tonight in Colorado. And, of course, the Timberwolves try to get back on track. And there was a lot on social media, and I do want to take thanks again to Kevin Lynch from Bally Sports North, Timberwolves analyst, joining us to talk about the first two games of the series. It is not over. It is tilted heavily in favor of the Dallas Mavericks, but all of a sudden the Timberwolves come back and win Game 3 tomorrow night.
Yeah,
it is a brand new series, in my opinion, because that means for sure the series is coming back to Target Center no matter what. So they will be in Dallas for games 3 and 4, and then coming back to Target Center on Thursday the 30th. So tomorrow night, get the win, play well, and all of a sudden it's a brand new series, in my opinion.
Let's remind everybody too, this team is 5-1 on the road.
Yeah.
I've said it on Twitter, I've said it here on the airwaves. I'm not huge on home games for any teams here. Like, whenever I watch the Wild, I kind of like when we win on the road because it just feels a little bit sweeter. I enjoy walking into their environment and getting the win, which honestly is one of a handful of reasons why I'm not giving up on this team this series, because this being down 2-0 in this series feels like less of a gut punch than we were than when we were up a dominant 2-0 to Denver and lost three straight.
And those two games at home, games 3 and 4 against Denver were ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, they were beat down.
This is a completely different story. Yeah. We've had, like you and Kevin talked about, we've had the lead in pretty much this whole series. It's just a matter, and Lake talked about this week too. It's so simple. Cat and Ant need to step up. That's the 1A of this conversation is you have Cat and Ant provide just a little more on the stat sheet for these games. We're not talking about being down 2-0 in the series. So that's really the only adjustment for starters that needs to be made this series. Yeah, there's a little few minute details that need to be adjusted from here on out, but the 1A of this conversation is Cat and Ant need to be better. We will not win this series if they continue to perform the way, and not so much Cat. Cat, I think, had 15 yesterday, so okay. But Ant needs to step up and be better. I don't want to hear this stuff about he's 22 years old. I get it. He's a great player. He's a kid. But you got to step up in the big time. The lights are not too bright for you. We've seen that. We need two better performances or this series is over. But I'm not counting this out. This series is far from over, if you ask me.
Yeah, way too many people waving the white flag. It was a gut punch.
Yeah.
There's no question. It was a disheartening loss last night. But it's 2-0 Dallas, and this team has shown the ability, as you alluded to a moment ago, to be able to win on the road against good teams. The Suns are no slouch. You had the defending champ, Denver Nuggets. So going on the road to play Dallas, not worried about it, but game three looms large. You get beat tomorrow night, and then I think you can start to pull out the white flag and get ready to wave it. Quick break. We'll come back. Steve Carney will take us outdoors. How's the fishing? We're moving into prime time. It is Memorial Day weekend. Usually the best open water fishing of the year. So first 2-3 weeks of June. We'll get into that with Steve Carney here on News Talk. 830 WCCO. Twins win. Beat the Rangers. They go for the sweep tomorrow. Our sports coverage begins at 10 a.m. with the Huddle, Pete Najarian, Dave Schwartz. At noon, Inside Twins at 12:30, the lineup card with Gino, and then Chris and Danny with all the play-by-play. Pablo Lopez on the mound. And with the way Cleveland and Kansas City are playing, the Twins need to keep winning and look for that sweep of the Texas Rangers. Right now, let's go outdoors. Steve Carney joins us. Steve Carney, outdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I've been great. I'm a little tired, Steve. It was kind of a long day today. I was on the water about 6:15 this morning, which I try to do on holiday weekends and try to beat the people to the, you know, the pontoons and the jet skis. So, you know, on a holiday weekend, you want to get up there super early in the morning and get off about 10 or 11, and, you know, you're good to go.
How was the bite?
Pretty good. It was, I was down in Grant County this morning, and they were snapping the minute I got there, about 6:15, 6:30, and the bite was really good, and really the crappies are really the story right now. They're just really doing well, and I'm finding them, you know, super shallow, and I'm also finding them out about 6 to 8 feet of water, so they're starting to transition a little bit deeper to the weed lines now. I think they're done spawning. And they're really cool. They're like jet black right now. That's kind of their spawning color and just beautiful. And the walleyes were pretty cooperative this morning in 8 to 10 feet of water, which is kind of typical. But we really don't have the weed growth yet, which is really strange. We're still lagging behind in water temperature. We're still 56, 58, just lagging behind. I think it's got a lot to do with the rain we've had. It's just cool things off and the weed growth is kind of retarded. It's not really where it's supposed to be, but that's okay. We're maybe, I don't know, a week or 10 days behind what we should be for Memorial, but again, it's just going to get better. It's just going to get better.
All right, Steve, let's talk prime time coming up for the walleye bite, and you wanted to touch on minnows, and I know a year ago we were talking about a shortage. Number one, is the supply better this year?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a great supply right now, Steve, but the bad news is it's really expensive. You know, a shiner minnow, which is really prime right now, is almost $1 a minnow. But, you know, fatheads are plentiful. There's a lot of red tails out there. So, yeah, the minnow situation looks good, but I'm kind of transitioning to plastics right now. As these fish get a little more active into June, you can get by with plastics and artificials instead of live bait. Not that live bait is bad. It's just there's a time and a place for it. So this morning I was using crankbaits, no live bait, just pulling, you know, small minnow baits, 8 to 10 feet of water, worked just great. So, you know, it depends on the lake you're on. You know, it's all lake by lake, case by case. But, yeah, the minnow situation looks great. Lots of crawlers, lots of leeches. So the bait situation looks really good.
All right, Steve, where are you going to be in the coming week?
Just going at it, Steve, doing my thing in Lakes Country, and looks like the weather's going to stabilize a little bit this week, be in the 70s and not a lot of surprises, so I think the bite's really going to start here this week, and it's just going to get better. June is the month, man. This is the month.
All right, so you're not going to get a lot of sleep, probably. You're going to be
no.
a tired man. All right.
No, we talked about this.
It's
the way it is, man. I mean, how many things in life can keep you up all night? Not a lot.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, Steve, we'll do it again in a week, man.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
There he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. By the way, our outdoors coverage continues tomorrow at 5. Rob Dreisline, Outdoor News, great show. Tons of info between 5 and 6. Big thanks to Josh Wheeler. Twins win, Lynx win tomorrow. PWHL Minnesota goes for a championship at 5 at the X, and the Timberwolves on the road in Big D, needing a win down 2-0 in the series. Once again, thanks to Josh Wheeler. Thanks to you for tuning in. Have a great Saturday night.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There is the old saying, you really shouldn't look at the standings in the major leagues until Memorial Day weekend, and here we are. So it's fair game. Look at the standings, and before you know it, we'll be counting down not only to the All-Star break, but then the trade deadline as well. So things go pretty quick once you get to Memorial Day weekend in the major leagues. Twins chasing the Royals and the Guardians at the moment, and the Royals and the Rays are tied at 3 in the bottom of the seventh inning down in St. Petersburg. And then late tonight, Cleveland in Anaheim to play the Angels, and that one won't get started till 8:38 our time tonight. So the Twins did gain a little ground with the win over the Rangers, 5-3. Alex Kirilloff hit the three-run home run on the eighth. Twins get the 5-3 win and go for the sweep tomorrow. And once again, a big thanks to Natalie Darwitz, general manager, PWHL Minnesota. They play Boston for the championship tomorrow. And that is a 5 o'clock start at the Xcel Energy Center. And a big crowd is expected on Friday night, almost 9,000. And that's extraordinary, Josh Wheeler, considering you had a Twins home game and the Timberwolves in Game 2 of the NBA's Western Conference Finals. That is a phenomenal crowd for the first year of this pro women's hockey team.
Yeah. It's been a good run for them so far this season. Obviously, no setting doubt. The indoor professional women's athletics or sports, however you want to phrase it, record for their home opener this season. But they and you kind of touched on it in the interview, they have a privilege that not a lot of these PWHL teams have, where they can actually use the Xcel Energy Center. Credit to the Wild and company for, you know, letting them have that platform for this, because I think they knew exactly what we now know is these crowds are going to show up in droves and just be there the whole way through. So it's been a phenomenal thing to see, you know, personally myself being able to cover it. Every time I'm there, it's just always stacked, almost the whole lower bowl is usually filled. So it's been fun.
Yeah, and the one thing the NBA has done is help nurture the WNBA to the point where it continues to gain more and more traction. Caitlin Clark certainly has helped. But we have four titles here with the Minnesota Lynx. And I think the NHL and NHL clubs and the support of the Wild of PWHL Minnesota is huge, and the availability of the Xcel Energy Center. And Natalie said it more than once that this is this is hockey country. This is the state of hockey. We know the support the boys and girls game gets at the high school level. We have all the Division I teams that get tremendous support here in the state of Minnesota. And of course, we know the support the Minnesota Wild have received over the years. And before that, the Norris Stars. And now to see PWHL Minnesota get that type of fan support and have a chance to win a championship tomorrow on home ice in St. Paul. And once again, tickets available. You can go to the PWHL.com website and find out about ticket availability. But there is room in the building if you want to go, and they'll start at 5 o'clock. Still plenty of time to enjoy the hockey game and still catch the Timberwolves in Game 3 of the NBA's Western Conference Finals in Big D. And speaking of that, Kevin Lynch joins us, Bally Sports North, Timberwolves analyst. Kev, always good to visit with you. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing pretty good, Steve. I'd be doing better if the Wolves had won a game or two, but that's not where we're at right now, and they're still alive, so that's good. They're still a pulse.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Game 1. Maybe they were a little sluggish coming off the seven-game battle with the Denver Nuggets, winning that on the road. But in Game 2, this game was there for the taking, and by any reasonable measure, should have won Game 2, and they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, they were well, Game 1 as well, as then for the Wolves up probably 80-90% of Game 1, the Wolves had a lead, and they just gave it away right at the end. And yeah, Game 2 the same. You know, the Wolves seem like they're just struggling with the pressure. It seems like they're just, now, they granted they might have been a little bit tired, like you said, because of the seven-game series, Denver, da-da-da, but you know, they win Game 1, they calmed, even if they didn't play well at the end, let's just say the Wolves win Game 1, and they just relax a little bit and play better Game 2, but they, like I said, they lose Game 1, and then they jump out, get a decent lead in Game 2, and then they give this away, too, so it's just, man, it's just, to me, well, the Wolves are a better team than Dallas. they just haven't shown it. They haven't played. Dallas has outplayed them, yes, but at the end of the day, I think the Wolves are a better team. But you're down 0-2 going to Texas, and it's just, boy, they got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, let's start a little bit with the Mavericks. Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving are the top two guys in this team. Doncic was pretty impressive in game two. I mean, triple-double. He's really a good player. I sometimes don't like the whining. People complain about Cat and some of the complaining he's done in his career. This guy's, it's an art form for Luka Doncic, whining to the official. I mean, really, it is. The guy's complaining all the time, but he's a hell of a player, Kev.
Well, yeah, you look at guys like Kobe Bryant, Manu Ginobili, those are just a couple guys that come to mind, how much complaining they did. Doncic, you know, it's just the NBA, Steve, they've tried to kind of cut back on this. The fans, the NBA fans, basketball fans, that's why some basketball fans don't like to watch the NBA, because it's way too much. And you're right, but you get away with it long enough, and you want the players to be able to express themselves and get emotional to a degree, but it's gone way too far. And Doncic, yeah, he's one of the main culprits of all that crap.
Kyrie Irving is a guy who's bounced around in his career and is one of those guys at times where it's like, you know, what's going on here? But it seems as though ever since going over to the Mavericks, he's kind of settled in and realizes that, you know, his career is slipping away, and this is an opportunity.
Yeah.
It seems as though Kyrie Irving has changed as he's matured.
Yeah, he's changed in the fact that it's just kind of all the off-the-court stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like a lot of people were like, does he want to play basketball? Does he like basketball? It just seemed like drama kind of surrounded him, and some of it he brought on himself. And you're right. What has happened this season is it's like last summer he must have gone into the start of this year like, all right, this is, you know, I'm being known as just kind of a head case, malcontent, and I want to get away from that. So I just want to – you can do whatever you want once you retire, you know. So how about just be a basketball player right now, stay out of the headlines, just kind of keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Because as far as offensive talent, I mean, there's just no doubt he's one of the best guys in this league, and he's showing that in the series so far. But yeah, he's made a change, like you said, and he needed to do. I mean, if he goes to all that other off the court stuff that he's gone to the last 5-6 years, there's no way that Dallas gets to this point. So a part of their success this year has been the fact that Kyrie Irving has just been a basketball player.
Kevin Lynch joining us, Valley Sports North, Timberwolves analyst. Timberwolves down 2-0. They go into Dallas tomorrow night. Much-needed win, must-win situation for the Timberwolves in Game 3 to get back on track. Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, from the field, have not had a very good series so far. If they're a little better, Timberwolves are up 2-0.
Yeah, it's... You know, it's just, to me, it's almost looked like the Wolves, and well, Ed, let's just start with Anthony Edwards. It just seems like he's, everything that guy has done this past 4 years since he came in to the NBA in 2024, he has handled everything beautifully. He's so talented, and he's so competitive, and he's a good player, but it seems like, and I was always thinking, you know, God, once he gets to the playoffs, how is he going to be? And he has been terrific all the way up to this point, and I think we're finally seeing the last couple of games him, the moment kind of affecting him. And this is the first time I've seen that, because every time an opponent or the Wolves coaching staff have thrown something at him, he's just handled it perfectly. But now the pressure is starting to build, and I'm sure he's feeling it. And the same thing with Towns. Towns had a lot to prove going into these playoffs. He's played okay in the playoffs previously, but never great. So I really think the Wolves have been affected by the pressure of what's going on and being favored in this series before this series started. So Yeah, I mean, if they're going to make this a series, if they're going to have a chance to win this series, Timberwolves, both those guys have to play better and play consistent from here on out, because they're on a hole right now, Steve, and they can't afford to lose Game 3.
Hey, Kevin, it's interesting you bring that up, because there was so much buzz. They swept Phoenix in four. But they won the first two in Denver, and then came home and really got steamrolled by the Nuggets in games 3 and 4, and then lost in Denver before righting the ship and getting a much-needed win at home, forcing the game 7, and we all know the rest of the story. But they are 3 and 4 at home in the playoffs. They've been much better on the road. Maybe that's part of it. It's maybe they play a little freer on the road and don't feel like, hey, we got to get it done. We're at home. We're in front of our fans, etc. Do you buy into that theory at all?
I do. I do somewhat. Yes, for some teams, for the makeup of whatever particular team you're talking about, whether it's the Wolves or somebody else, for some teams that's the case. I mean, and that's nothing against the Timberwolves fans. I mean, those fans have been unbelievable at Target Center, but I just think that for certain teams, they relax. They don't feel it as much. It's kind of like we got this 20,000 people in Denver or Phoenix, and we're going to relax and just try to take them out in their own building. So some teams approach it that way, and I'm hoping, well, like you said, just talk about the Wolves' record on the road so far in the playoffs has been really pretty good. So that might be the case for this team. So they just need to have some. Steve, if the Wolves can win one of these games in Dallas, that is going, whether they play well or not, if they just win a game, that might relax them coming back for game 5. You might see a different Timberwolves team. So that might be the case, that you get on the road and you get together and it's us against the world mentality, and that might help them to a degree.
One of the things during the regular season, and you saw this a lot, the Timberwolves would have trouble finishing games. And in that Denver series, there were blowouts one way or another. I mean, it was all Denver or it was all Minnesota for the most part in that series. But in this one, very tight games coming down to the stretch. Every possession is huge. And that's kind of a different animal, because, once again, the Timberwolves during the regular year would struggle with that at times, finishing.
Yeah, you know, and even getting stops, too. So I don't think it's just the offense. It's one of their big issues in this series. It's been just two games, but it's just trying to – I mean, the big guys for Dallas just getting dunks, easy lob dunk, and it's like, you can sit and blame Gobert or Towns or Naz Reid or some of the big guys, but the big culprit is the Wolves' perimeter players or whoever's guarding Doncic or Irving, allowing dribble penetration to get into the lane. Your defense breaks down, and then they're lobbing it up to Gafford or Lively, the second, you know, these big guys for Dallas, and they're just catching and dunking. But so the problem is keeping those guys out of the lane. Now, it's not easy to do, because Doncic and Irving are really good at manipulating the refs at times, and they're just really good off the dribble if you give them a little bit of space. So lack of execution defensively has been such a problem. But offensively as well, it just seems like Conley didn't play well in game 1. That has been a problem. And if you're going to run your offense through exclusively Anthony Edwards, you know, in pressure situations like that, he's making mistakes as well. So it's been a problem that we've seen before this season. At times they've been okay at executing at the end of game situations, but against a good team like Dallas that's playing well, it's been hard to watch at times, because both these games, game 1 and 2, the Wolves just making mistakes and giving up dunks and just turnovers, and it's hard to watch.
Yeah, and Kev, before we let you go, final play, game 2, Doncic one-on-one with Rudy Gobert. And I was just kind of sitting there mumbling to myself, because I was watching the game by myself, and it's like, I don't like this. This is putting Gobert in a bad spot. That far away from the hoop, one-on-one with Doncic, that's a tough spot for Gobert.
Yeah, and plus, you know, it's like I was thinking the same thing watching that last night. It's like, plus you're up two, and you give them a three. You give them a three. It's one thing if you just crowd Doncic and force them to get inside the 3-point line, and then they make a play and they tie the score. But he makes a three to go up to yeah. take the lead. You know, and it's just little things like that just sting, man. I mean, it's one thing if they get a two and they tie the game, you go to overtime. Okay, whatever. You're frustrated you didn't win the game, but at least you're not playing from behind. And then the last shot by the Wolves, so you're down one, Steve, and this is one of my issues with the NBA. You know, it's like you're down one with 3 seconds to go, and you take a three. All you need is a two. You could run a play, get some action going towards the basket, maybe draw a foul, maybe get a two. All you need is a two to win. Instead, you take a 20. No, Naz Reid's been really hot all game. Yep, I get that. Yep. But get some action going towards the basket. To me, that was another frustration for the end of that game last night.
Or get to the line. You know, take your chances at the free throw line, you know.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. someone fouls you and knocks it into the 10th row, at least you get to the stripe and have a chance. Yeah.
Right, yeah. It's just, a lot of teams do that. They run plays to get threes when the score is tied or you're down one. All you need is a two to win it, and you take a three. To me, it's just like – it's just a head-scratcher.
Yeah, it was painful. Well, hey, Kev, always good to visit with you. Game 3 tomorrow night, Timberwolves in Dallas against the Mavericks. And to keep that series in live, they need to get one of two games at least down in Big D. Have a good one.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
All right, there he is, Kevin Lynch, Bally Sports North, Timberwolves analyst, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We'll come back. Tragedy on the PGA Tour. We'll have that story in a moment. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. The PGA Tour is at Colonial in Fort Worth, Texas. It's hot. And tragic news today. Grayson Murray, who's won twice on the PGA Tour, died this morning at the age of 30, one day after he withdrew from the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. There were no immediate details on the circumstances of his death, only shock and grief from the PGA Tour and his management team. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan said, "I'm at a loss for words. The PGA Tour is a family, and when you lose a member of your family, you're never the same. We mourn Grayson and pray for comfort for his loved ones." His management company confirmed his passing, but they wouldn't say anything further about the cause of death. Monahan said he spoke with Murray's parents to offer condolences, and they asked that the tournament continue. So they learned of his death this morning, and the third round did indeed continue. So two-time PGA Tour winner, 30-year-old Grayson Murray, has passed away, and they're not really sure. But he wasn't feeling well on Friday and withdrew from that tournament. And the leaderboard, in the wake of Murray's passing, the third round is complete. And Scottie Scheffler right near the top of the leaderboard after a 7-under 63 today. He is all alone in second. Davis Riley is your leader by four at 14 under par. Scheffler all alone in second at 10 under par. And then two players at minus nine. Tony Finau in a group tied for all alone in sixth. Tony Finau all alone in sixth at 7 under par. Colin Morikawa in a group tied for seventh at 6 under par, but it's Davis Riley by 4 over Scottie Scheffler heading into the final round of the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth. But a sad, sad story. Once again, Grayson Murray passing away at the age of 30. It is 5:32. Quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. Much more in the world of sports. the Loons are on the road at Colorado. We'll get into that. We'll go outdoors with Steve Kearney here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. A little more on the weather. Some big thunderstorms up by 35 in the area of Hinkley, heading into northern Wisconsin. And that actually, as you move up 35 and head for Duluth, they continue to move to the northeast, so the Twin Ports could be impacted by that. Also, some shower and thunder shower activity between Red Wing and Winona, and that is headed over the river into Wisconsin as well. So you could see some light showers this afternoon or early this evening, depending on where you are. But very light rain if it's occurring right now here in the Twin Cities. Gorgeous day earlier at Target Field. Twins beat the Rangers 5-3. Alex Kirilloff, the hero. Got to hear that one again. Kirilloff, a three-run bomb in the eighth. Twins go on to win it.
And Alex swings and lifts one high in the air. Deep left center field. Tavares chasing it. He's in front of the bullpen, and it's gone. Into the bullpen. It's a three-man parade around the bases. Alex Kirilloff slingshots the Twins to the lead.
Yeah, that's really good. Chris Atterbury on the call. Twins win at 5-3. They've won four in a row. They go for the sweep of the Rangers. Pablo Lopez on the mound. Our coverage beginning at noon. Inside Twins. Lineup card 12:30. Chris and Danny at 1:10 tomorrow. Once again, Pablo Day at Target Field. And it looks like the weather is going to cooperate. Word is, if we get some rain, it might be in the morning. Keeping an eye on the Royals and the Rays, they played 9 and tied at 3 in St. Petersburg. Of course, Royals in second place. Later on, Cleveland in Anaheim playing a late game. So you're up to date on what's happening on the Major League scoreboard, at least as far as the American League Central is concerned. Good news for the Minnesota Lynx. They got a win today, beating the New York Liberty 84-67 today. And the Lynx had four players in double figures as they get the W today. Meanwhile, the Loons take on Colorado out in Denver tonight. And the Loons have been a very pleasant surprise this season, kind of coming out of the break, waiting for their new head coach to arrive. And they have been playing very, very well. They continue to defy all expectations this year. But once again, they take on Colorado. And fans, it's on Apple TV, you know that. But it's one of the free games tonight from Dick's Sporting Goods Park in Colorado. Once again, Minnesota and Colorado. And Josh, it's free. I might check it out. I might watch a little Loons later on tonight.
Man, free sports. What is
yeah,
that like?
No, I was thrilled when I saw it. And there are occasional games. As a matter of fact, next week when they're at LAFC, that is another free game on Apple TV.
So,
back to back. And it's not a week away. They actually play at LAFC on the 29th. But tonight at Colorado, free. And then on the 29th, free. And I do have the app on my smart TV, so I think I might check that out tonight. But they are playing very well. And by the way, you can hear Viking PA announcer Alan Roach. He is also the PA voice of Colorado. So you'll be able to hear his voice.
He does it all.
Let's see. He does Colorado Avalanche, Colorado Rapids, Minnesota Vikings. I think he's going to be in Paris for the Olympics. He does something at the Olympic Games, and he's been the PA guy for the Super Bowl.
Crazy. Just crazy. No, yeah. I have yet
so,
to go.
So you'll
to,
hear it. You'll hear a familiar voice on the PA in Colorado.
I have yet to check out Allianz Field, to be completely honest, but it is at the top of my list because I love soccer. I know a lot of it's not popular among a lot of Americans here, but I've covered soccer before in my media days, and it definitely helped grow and appreciate my love for the sport of soccer. And I would love to. I need to go to actually watch a game in person, since you can't really, as you've alluded to, we can't really watch too much right now when it comes to sports. But yeah, free games on the on Apple for
Minnesota tonight,
United. Love it.
Yeah, tonight and the 29th, the Loons are free on Apple TV. Be still my beating heart. By the way, of the Loons take on Kansas City at home, next home game. Your next opportunity, Josh, to get to Allianz coming up on June 1st. So they have a lot of action coming up. So good news generally all around today on the local sports scene. Twins win, Lynx win, and the Loons play tonight in Colorado. And, of course, the Timberwolves try to get back on track. And there was a lot on social media, and I do want to take thanks again to Kevin Lynch from Bally Sports North, Timberwolves analyst, joining us to talk about the first two games of the series. It is not over. It is tilted heavily in favor of the Dallas Mavericks. But all of a sudden, the Timberwolves come back and win Game 3 tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It is a brand new series, in my opinion, because that means for sure the series is coming back to Target Center no matter what. So they will be in Dallas for games 3 and 4, and then coming back to Target Center on Thursday the 30th. So tomorrow night, get the win, play well, and all of a sudden it's a brand new series, in my opinion.
Let's remind everybody too, this team is 5-1 on the road.
Yeah.
I've said it on Twitter, I've said it here on the airwaves. I'm not huge on home games for any teams here. Like, whenever I watch the Wild, I kind of like when we win on the road because it just feels a little bit sweeter. I enjoy walking into their environment and getting the win, which honestly is one of a handful of reasons why I'm not giving up on this team this series, because this being down 2-0 in this series feels like less of a gut punch than when we were up a dominant 2-0 to Denver and lost 3 straight.
And got blown out. Those two games at home, games 3 and 4 against Denver, were ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, they were beat down.
This is a completely different story. Yeah. We've had, like you and Kevin talked about, we've had the lead in pretty much this whole series. It's just a matter, and Lake talked about this week too. It's so simple. Cat and Ant need to step up. That's the 1A of this conversation. Is you have Cat and Ant provide just a little more on the stat sheet for these games. We're not talking about being down 2-0 in the series. So that's really the only adjustment we're, for starters, that needs to be made this series. Yeah, there's a little few minute details that need to be adjusted from here on out, but the 1A of this conversation is Cat and Ant need to be better. We will not win this series if they continue to perform the way, and not so much Cat. Cat, I think, had 15 yesterday, so okay. But Ant needs to step up and be better. I don't want to hear this stuff about he's 22 years old. I get it. He's a great player. He's a kid. But you got to step up in the big time. The lights are not too bright for you. We've seen that. We need two better performances or this series is over. But I'm not counting this out. This series is far from over, if you ask me.
Yeah, way too many people waving the white flag. It was a gut punch.
Yeah.
There's no question. It was a disheartening loss last night. But it's 2-0 Dallas, and this team has shown the ability, as you alluded to a moment ago, to be able to win on the road against good teams. The Suns are no slouch. You had the defending champ, Denver Nuggets. So going on the road to play Dallas, not worried about it, but game 3 looms large. You get beat tomorrow night, and then I think you can start to pull out the white flag and get ready to wave it. Quick break. We'll come back. Steve Carney will take us outdoors. How's the fishing? We're moving into prime time. It is Memorial Day weekend. Usually the best open water fishing of the year. It's the first 2-3 weeks of June. We'll get into that with Steve Carney here on News Talk. 830 WCCO. Twins win. Beat the Rangers. They go for the sweep tomorrow. Our sports coverage begins at 10 a.m. with the Huddle, Pete Najarian, Dave Schwartz. At noon, Inside Twins at 12:30, the lineup card with Gino And then Chris and Danny with all the play-by-play. Pablo Lopez on the mound. And with the way Cleveland and Kansas City are playing, the Twins need to keep winning and look for that sweep of the Texas Rangers. Right now, let's go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us. SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I've been great. I'm a little tired, Steve. It was kind of a long day today. I was on the water about 6:15 this morning, which I try to do on holiday weekends and try to beat the people to the, you know, the pontoons and the jet skis. So, you know, on a holiday weekend, you want to get right up there super early in the morning and get off about 10 or 11, and, you know, you're good to go.
How was the bite?
Pretty good. It was, I was down in Grant County this morning, and they were snapping the minute I got there, about 6:15, 6:30, and the bite was really good. And really, the crappies are really the story right now. They're just really doing well. And I'm finding them, you know, super shallow, and I'm also finding them out about 6 to 8 feet of water. So they're starting to transition a little bit deeper to the weed lines now. I think they're done spawning. And they're really cool. They're like jet black right now. That's kind of their spawning color, and just beautiful. And the walleyes were pretty cooperative this morning in 8 to 10 feet of water, which is kind of typical. But we really don't have the weed growth yet, which is really strange. We're still lagging behind in water temperature. We're still 56, 58, just lagging behind. I think it's got a lot to do with the rain we've had. It's just cool things off, and the weed growth is kind of retarded. It's not really where it's supposed to be, but that's okay. We're maybe, I don't know, a week or 10 days behind what we should be for Memorial, but again, it's just going to get better. It's just going to get better.
All right, Steve, let's talk prime time coming up for the walleye bite, and you wanted to touch on minnows, and I know a year ago we were talking about a shortage. Number one, is the supply better this year?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a great supply right now, Steve, but the bad news is it's really expensive. You know, a shiner minnow, which is really prime right now, is almost $1 a minnow. But, you know, fatheads are plentiful. There's a lot of red tails out there. So, yeah, the minnow situation looks good, but I'm kind of transitioning to plastics right now. As these fish get a little more active into June, you can get by with plastics and artificials instead of live bait. Not that live bait is bad. It's just there's a time and a place for it. So this morning I was using crankbaits, no live bait, just pulling, you know, small minnow baits, 8 to 10 feet of water, worked just great. So, you know, it depends on the lake you're on. You know, it's all lake by lake, case by case. But, yeah, the minnow situation looks great. Lots of crawlers, lots of leeches. So the bait situation looks really good.
All right, Steve, where are you going to be in the coming week?
Just going at it, Steve, doing my thing in Lakes Country, and looks like the weather's going to stabilize a little bit this week, be in the 70s and not a lot of surprises, so I think the bite's really going to start here this week, and it's just going to get better. June is the month, man. This is the month.
All right, so you're not going to get a lot of sleep, probably. You're going to be
no.
a tired man. All right.
No, we talked about this.
It's yeah, like,
yeah, that's the way it is, man. I mean, how many things in life can keep you up all night? Not a lot.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, Steve, we'll do it again in a week, man.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
There he is, Steve Kearney, SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. By the way, our outdoors coverage continues tomorrow at 5. Rob Drury's line, Outdoor News, great show. Tons of info between 5 and 6. Big thanks to Josh Wheeler. Twins win, Lynx win tomorrow. PWHL Minnesota goes for a championship at 5 at the X, and the Timberwolves on the road in Big D, needing a win down 2-0 in the series. Once again, thanks to Josh Wheeler. Thanks to you for tuning in. Have a great Saturday night.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.